This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. Last year, the folks at Undi 18, which is a non-partisan youth advocacy group, organized a little something called Parliament Digital, which is a virtual parliamentary sitting run and participated by youths. Now, this event was highly successful, garnered praise from the media, activists, and even politicians alike. This year, the Undi 18 folks are back with something that looks to be bigger and better than Parliament Digital, and it's called Day One Muda Malaysia, a two-year program with the aim of promoting greater political participation, among various other things, right? So joining me on the show today to discuss Day One Muda Malaysia are Kira Yusri and Tharma Pillay, the co-founders of Undi 18. Welcome to the show, guys. How are y'all doing?
Thanks for having us on.
Tharma, it's been a year now since Parliament Digital ran and ran successfully. How do you reflect on this 1 year?
I think I have a lot of answers for that question. There's many ways to sort of talk about the year. But talking about just the digital parliament experience and looking at our own parliament, right? Mm-hmm. Not only were we suspended at one point when we did Parliament Digital, now we don't have parliament at all, right? There's no parliamentary seating. So I think it's gotten from bad to worse. So for us, really, the discussion is coming back on how do we have our democracy back, or how do we have virtual parliamentary seatings or hybrid parliamentary seatings. And for me, it's, again, we just keep repeating it, that young people have done it before. We've shown you that with a low cost, with just a small team, we can pull off a whole digital parliament experience with 222 young MPs. Why can't the real parliament do it?
Something I want to get both your take on is, you've always said that one of the reasons you started Undi 18 in the first place was that when you guys were overseas studying in the US, you realized that young people, you know, college, university students, were rather in tune with their political scene, more than here anyway. You know, students debate politics in their university cafeterias, for example. And you wanted that for Malaysia. So obviously, we're not there yet. But when I look at one of the successes of something like a Parliament Digital, right, is that it wasn't just about that particular event or program, but the fallout after that. Many Parliament Digital participants are now part of NGOs. They are part of various campaigns, some of which you guys are running, like Undi Sabah, Undi Sarawak. Lim Wei Jet, who was a speaker at Parliament Digital, the speaker of Parliament Digital, is now one of the founding members of Parti Muda. Now, all of this has got to make you guys happy, right, Kira?
I think, you know, when you actually, that's a very interesting perspective. I never really considered it like that. And I think that's a testament to what programs like this can do to young Malaysians, you know, because I think when we started Undi 18, of course, like you mentioned, we just wanted people to talk about issues. We wanted young people to care about current events and more importantly, you know, what's going on with our politics, because when you become complacent, that's when you allow injustice and oppression to come and it affects you right down the line. So I think to see that so many of our program alumni, not just Parliament Digital, but also beyond, you know, using the exposure they've had through Undi 18's programs to go on and do bigger things, it's really inspiring to see, honestly, as one of the organizers. I think more importantly is that we are able to showcase that if young people are provided a platform, we will step up, you know, and that's the kind of concept we're trying to prove from Parliament Digital. Ever since then, you know, not just young people have been joining NGOs or political parties, which is something that we always advocate for, right? You have Wei Jiat, who is one of the founding members of Muda. You also have Dr. Tanusha, who is one of the vice presidents of Muda as well, who was from Parliament Digital, right? But not to mention, many Parliament Digital participants also went on to join other political parties like PKR and so on and so forth. So what's interesting to see also is that media, think tanks, and also, you know, academics, you know, when they want to get a youth input, they realize that through Parliament Digital, they can get sort of like a representative perspective, because, you know, every single participant represented their own area, their own constituency. So, you know, when you talk about going down to the ground, that was one of the best ways to do it, by getting youth from every single constituency in one place. So you sort of have like, okay, this is what Malaysia can look like, you know. So I think, you know, to see that being reflected reflected in wider movements is truly inspiring.
It is very inspiring. What about you, Tarma? How do you look back at some of the fallout of Parliament Digital, where a lot of the participants are right now and the kind of work that they are doing?
I think it was definitely a proof in our theory that if you give an opportunity to young people, you give them a platform, you give them a chance to speak up and be counted, young people will rise up to the occasion and there will be big benefits from it, right? So I think Parliament Digital was a great example, right? When you have these 222 people, you bring them together, you properly sort them and choose them, and choose the best of the best and make sure that, one, you run a really professional session, right? For people who watched the session, Parliament Digital last year, you will know and you will have seen that so many of our debaters did their debates and gave their speeches in an extremely professional, intellectual, highly qualified manner, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that reflects on the quality of participants and quality of young people that we have in this country. So it is very natural that when these people leave the program and they decide that, okay, you know what? This is something that's very interesting. I am interested in doing things like this and pursuing things like this. Then they go out and join NGOs to advocate for causes that they believe in. They go and join political parties. So I think... this is why that's so important to have more programs like this, because if you give more platforms to young people and you give them more of an opportunity to experience these things and learn, that's how we get a new generation or a next generation that can turn things around and make things better for Malaysia.
Let's talk about the new program that you guys are going to run, which is Day One Muda Malaysia. Kira, what is Day One Muda Malaysia and how will it be different from Parliament Digital?
Yeah, so Day One Muda Malaysia is Think Parliament Digital on steroids in a very simple way, right? So one year after we did Parliament Digital, we realized that, you know, while it was a great program, so many of the participants wanted more, you know. And of course, as program organizers, there's always more value in having a longer term sustainable program where young people are mentored, nurtured and honed in specific areas and specific skill sets. So, you know, because... you know, any political commentator, you know, anyone would know that politics is not just about debating in parliament, right? It's way beyond that. It's about, you know, understanding policy making. It's understanding what goes on the ground. It's also stakeholder engagements. Well, good policymakers would do all stakeholder engagements. Mm-hmm. And that's the model that we're trying to emulate and the idea that we want to educate youngsters out there. You know, I think as Undi 18, we always get so many people coming to us saying, you must teach the youth this, must teach the youth that. So we're like, okay, so this is our attempt of taking all this feedback. We put our brains together for the past, I think, 6 months together with UNICEF, and we're like, okay, this is the program that we're coming up with. So in short, Day One Muda Malaysia is a two-year leadership development program for young Malaysians, specifically between 15 and 30 years old, to experience 2 years, getting exposure to policy, what policy making is like, public debates, especially parliamentary processes and what it looks like. And also, more importantly, deep diving into specific focus areas. So one of the cool components inside Day One Muda Malaysia is at our initiative called Cabinet Muda Malaysia. So we want to emulate, you know, what could a Malaysian cabinet look like? You know? So if you deep dive into the website, you notice that we're introducing some ministries that we don't really have at the moment. So for example, we're introducing Ministry of Justice and Human Rights. We're introducing Ministry of Children and Youth. Because when we want to envision a Malaysia of the future, right, especially when we have 222 young people, we're trying to think, what are some of the priorities of the youth? You know, how can they represent their community better? How can they represent their perspectives better? So Day One Muda Malaysia, the whole purpose is to serve exactly that. Throughout the 2 years, you know, in brief, they'll be able to attend workshops. They'll organize roundtable discussions. They will be attending their own cabinet meetings, quote unquote cabinet meetings. And they'll also be participating in parliamentary debate. Of course, we'd love to do it in person, but until the time allows, that will be done online, similar to how Parliament Digital was done last year.
Will all of this be online? How do y'all plan on coordinating 222 people through these different activities over the period of 2 years?
I guess inspired by all the Gen Zs around us. And also, I mean, in the past, I guess 1.5 years since the pandemic has come on, educational technology has come so far, you know, and also more importantly, educators have learned to use different tools. So we're gonna, you know, we're gonna go back to basics. We're gonna use tools that our youth are familiar with. So we're gonna use Discord to manage communications, because please, not another WhatsApp group. I don't think anyone can take that anymore.
Yes.
You know, so we experimented on smaller scales with other programs like Fellow Parliament Malaysia, Hackathon Politics, which we're supporting Architects University on. Right. So, you know, we realized that if you want to make things relevant to the youth, you have to use tools that are familiar to the youth. And, you know, so, and I think for me, at least, you know, as the program lead for Undi 18, it's very fun to play around with new tools. So we're experimenting with like really cool digital tools such as like Discord, Notion. And of course, you know, we use online platforms such as Zoom to conduct all these programs. You know, again, we're trying to prove also that if you make it accessible for the masses, politicians should have no problem running their own, you know, virtual meetings, running their own virtual sittings, because the tools are available out there. You know, the world has evolved to adapt to how COVID-19 has affected their work, and we are too.
On that note, we do need to go for a very quick break. I'm speaking with Kira Yusri and Tarma Pillay, co-founders of Undi 18 on Live & Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live & Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Kira Yusri and Tarma Pillay, who are the co-founders of Undi 18. And we're talking about their upcoming two-year program, Dewan Muda Malaysia, which aims to increase political participation among youths in Malaysia. Now, Tarma, I know one aspect of this program that is very exciting is that the participants will also be mentored by real subject matter experts. Break down who will these mentors be and what exactly will they be mentoring participants on?
The idea of getting the subject matter experts is to advise our participants in their cabinet Muda initiatives. Because again, when we want to develop and build more policy makers or policy thinkers, we do want them, want these young people to go and develop their own white papers, their own policy recommendations. We want them to go out and do consultations with researchers, with government agencies, with civil servants, with key decision makers. We do want them to go out, speak to people, and understand what is it like to make policies, what is it like to decide and determine what's a good policy and what's a bad one, right? Mm-hmm. And the best way to go forward and the best way to do that is to engage these sort of subject matter expert top mentors to assist them and guide them. So some of the people that we've gotten for these ministries, right? And again, these ministries may not be completely accurate to real life. We do have a Ministry of Education, but we do have a Ministry of Environment, right, which covers a huge number of sectors. But these mentors fundamentally are people like, for example, Dr. Kaur, who has advised the government on public policy, for almost a year plus now, right? He has had an amazing background. Dr. Gayathri in terms of communication, Jason Wee from Architects of Diversity, in terms of racial unity or navigating racial complexities, right? Izzat Samsudin, Chan Sun Seng, who's an expert in education from Teach for Malaysia, right? So these are the number of subject matter experts, and we're looking for a number of others, right, that we want to bring onto this program and lead and advise our young participants.
Sounds very exciting. Kira, how will y'all be selecting the 222 participants?
Yeah, that's a great question, because at the moment, as I checked this morning, we're having almost 700 applications already.
Wow.
So it's going to be, you know, as a selector, it's going to be a challenging time finding our 222 participants, right? I've already hit my KPI in terms of recruitment. but we always will have a challenge of recruiting more young women, more non-Malays, and more Malaysians from minority communities such as Orang Asli, people with disabilities, and so on. If anyone out there has friends to recommend, please send them our way at Dewan Muda Malaysia. The selection process will be very similar to how we did the selection for Parliament Digital. So we realized that, you know, first and foremost, we want to have a representative lineup of a cohort, so to say, right? Okay. So the first layer of selection will be filtering them by the geographical location. For example, we'll first look into the applicants that applied for each constituency, and then they will be competing with each other then. So what happens is that, of course, some constituency will have no applications, or some constituency will have extra with a lot of applications.
Right.
If we're learning from last year, the seat of Shah Alam alone had 50 people applying to represent Shah Alam. So, you know, I think political education in Shah Alam is, you know, not a problem at this point. She's just pointing out my observation. So what that means is that, of course, you know, it may not be fair to do it that way. So we will be looking at the next level of selection is within their own state. So the state of Selangor, the state of Kuala Lumpur, the state of Perlis, Kedah, and so on, in order to ensure that, you know, we have enough people for every single seat in Malaysia. And then the second layer selection will be looking into the quality of their applications, of course. So, for example, part of the application, they will have three very short essays, which they are required to answer in both English and Malay.
Right.
And our team of selectors will be evaluating the quality of their essays, primarily asking about their aspirations for Malaysia, what are issues they're interested to solve, and why do they think they're a good candidate for Dewan Muda Malaysia. Because one thing for sure is that, you know, it is a two-year program. And while it's not like a day-to-day program, we do require, you know, commitment and interest to stay on the program. So the essays are just for us to get to know the participants better. And last but not least is the diversity level of filter. So we want to prioritize, because we want to have a lineup of, like, you know, a representative Malaysia. And this means that inclusive of all demographics, of all genders, of all ideologies, of all you know, abilities of Malaysians. So, you know, we're going to look into, you know, to see which to ensure that there are representations from each minority community, indigenous community. And then we'll announce the final lineup of 222 participants then.
Now, just to switch gears a little bit, a couple of days ago, Dewan Negara President Dr. Rais Yatim, he announced that Putrajaya is looking into implementing hybrid parliament sittings, a mixture of online and offline, things like that. What are your thoughts on this? Tharma, let's get your thoughts on this, because it's more than a year since the pandemic hit and months since the government closed parliament. And why I particularly want to ask you guys this question is because I remember when Parliament Digital was announced last year, one of the reasons that y'all wanted to make Parliament Digital happen was a response to the way Parliament was being treated at the time. You know, now, a few months later, Parliament is completely closed altogether. So when you see what's going on and you reflect on the fact that you guys have already done a completely wholly online Parliament and it ran really smoothly, how do you process the kind of things that are being said by people like the Dewan Negara President, Dr. Rais Yatim?
I think for us, fundamentally, this is just an issue of whether you want to do it or not, right? Mm-hmm. I think that the fact that we're only discussing this, you know, 1.5 years into the pandemic, right? As you rightly mentioned, many months into the official closing or suspension of Parliament, right? Because we are so-called, or the excuse given that we are so-called afraid of spreading COVID-19, and we're still looking at a hybrid Parliament when literally every single parliamentarian, most of our political leaders are already vaccinated. I think getting parliamentary staff and putting them as frontliners is something that's very possible. Dato' Sri Azalina has suggested it. If we are really concerned about spreading COVID within parliament during parliamentary sittings, we can also vaccinate all the parliamentary staff to minimize any risk. So I do think that fundamentally, it's not really an issue of technology, right? Because we've proven through Parliament Digital, and we're going to prove again through Dewan Muda Malaysia, that doing not only a hybrid model, but doing a fully virtual model is completely possible. So I think that's the first part. So the technology is there. The second thing is that in terms of changing the standing orders, and that's often the excuse that's cited, that if you are able, or if you want to do a virtual parliamentary sitting or even a hybrid parliamentary sitting, you have to massively transform or change the standing orders, or even to suspend it. But again, with the powers of the emergency, with the powers that are enshrined by Parliament, right, these are all a matter of protocol, right? Mm-hmm. So if we do have a will, there is always a way for us to restore democratic processes. But here's the thing. The most important thing is that, for me, is that I welcome these sort of suggestions. I welcome these sort of, discussions about bringing together a hybrid Parliament. But fundamentally, is we do need Parliament to sit as soon as possible, and we do need it to happen, urgently, because this is something that the people or the rakyat needs a voice to talk about what's going on the ground. There needs to be a way for people to give suggestions to the government, and there needs to be a way for government to provide information on what they're doing and to be held accountable and to have checks and balances again. So I think that that's a real issue, right? So we have the technology. It's all about whether or not they have the will to actually implement it, whether it's hybrid, whether it's fully virtual, or even if it's all physical again, because let's face it, all of them are vaccinated. And if young kids in schools can go to school without being vaccinated fully, why can't our parliamentarians?
All right, Kira, we know that Undi 18 is challenging the government and the EC's decision to postpone the implementation of the lowering of voting age from 21 to 18 in court. Are there any updates?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're actually launching and supporting two lawsuits concurrently about Undi 18. So one in the KL High Court, one with the Kuching High Court. So recently, we actually got a decision by the Kuching High Court to get leave for our case to be heard. So our next hearing, if I'm not mistaken, is in the end of June, I think, so that you know we're able to hear what the Kuching judge would say. We're also hearing back on our decision from our judge in the KL High Court on whether we'll be able to move forward with the suit. So I think our decision is coming out on the 17th of June, and we're definitely hoping that you know the judge will see that we do have a strong enough case to be heard in court. In order so that you know we can hear from the government on what is the reason behind the delay of Undi 18.
Okay. All right, so as we wrap up this conversation, Tharma, perhaps you can, you know, leave us with some final thoughts. Why should people sign up for Day One Muda Malaysia? Why should they join? What can they get from it?
So if you are in the stated age range, which is 15 to 30 years old, come and join Day One Muda Malaysia, because we want to build a next generation of policymakers, and we think it should be people like you. We want to train you, give you the right resources, connect you to the right mentors, give you a platform to speak up on issues that really matter. And we want to ensure that that this conversation reaches the public and shapes, at least to an extent, public conscience and public knowledge. I think giving that platform to young people is something that's so important, something that we believe in. And we want to push for more young people to have a voice, and we want more young people like you to join us.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Kira and Tharma.
Thank you, Dashran, for having us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Kira Yusri and Tharma Pillai, the co-founders of Undi 18, on their upcoming program, Day One Muda Malaysia. If you'd like to sign up, you can head over to their website, dayonemudamalaysia.com. That's dayonemudamalaysia.com. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can download the podcast on the BFM app and bfm.my. I'm Dashran Johan, and you've been tuned in to Live and Learn on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.